This morning, we're going to build on that foundation. That was the foundation. We're going to build on that this morning. And we're going to talk about some of the responsibilities of being a part of the kingdom. And one of those responsibilities is that we must take up our cross and follow Jesus. Now, with that in mind, let's dive right into the passage. So from verse 21 there. Matthew records that from that time, Jesus began to teach his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer. It's an interesting thing that he records there. He must go to Jerusalem, as though there was no other way. And then in verse 24, we'll skip over 22 and 23 for now. We'll come back to that in a minute. From verse 24, Jesus then tells his disciples, "And if any of you want to come after me, if you want to be a part of my kingdom, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Because whoever wants to save his life will actually lose it. But those who lose their life will end up finding it." Now, I'd just like to zero in on that phrase, take up your cross. I've heard this phrase used or misused over the years. Have you ever heard anyone say, "It's just my cross to bear"? You hear it a bit, don't you? And it's usually in some trivial circumstance, like maybe someone has just been stopped at a red light, and they say, "Oh, another red light. It's just my cross to bear." Or maybe their football team loses on the weekend by 1 point, and as the final siren goes, they say, "Oh, it's just my cross to bear," usually with a big sigh. I'm a Melbourne supporter, Melbourne Demons, and over the years I've heard people say this. Melbourne is just our cross to bear. But it's trivial, right? It's a misuse of the phrase. Because what it really means is that we are to die to ourselves. We are to give up our own will for the sake of Jesus' kingdom. That's what it means to take up your cross. There's nothing trivial about it. There's a suffering and a pain involved in that. And Jesus' life was characterized by this. We see this not just at the end of his life when he actually takes up his cross. We see this all throughout his life. Jesus takes up his cross when he's out in the wilderness and the enemy is tempting him. And the enemy comes to him and he says, "You're the Son of God. Why don't you just do it this way?" And Jesus says, "No, that's not the way I'm going to do it. That's not the way my Father wants me to do it." And 3 times he says that. "No, that's not my Father's will." He had to take up his cross and do things the Father's way, not his own way. He didn't want to cut corners and do things the easy way. And then finally, we see it in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is in agony and he's pleading with the Father and saying, "Please, if there's any other way, please, can you take this cup from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He said, "Your will be done," and he said it through tears. Now, to take up your cross is painful. Obviously, there's no comfortable way to die to yourself. Has anyone heard the story of Amy Carmichael? A few people are nodding, yep. For those of you who don't know, Amy Carmichael was a missionary. She was originally from Ireland, and she became a missionary in Japan and then later on to India as well. Now, there's this really interesting story about Amy from when she was a young girl. Apparently, she loved the colour blue. She had brown eyes, but she really wanted to have blue eyes. But her mum told her, "All you have to do is pray to God and God will hear you and answer your prayers." And so Amy thought, "All right, I'll give it a try." So one night, she starts praying to God, "Please give me blue eyes. Please give me blue eyes. That's really what I want." And she wakes up in the morning and she's all excited and she rushes to the mirror. And of course, her eyes are still brown. Needless to say, she's disappointed. Now, as I said, she ended up being a missionary in, where was it again, sorry? In India, that's right. Thank you. She ended up being a missionary in India. Now, part of her mission in India was that she would take children who were in very vulnerable situations, and she would put them into orphanages for their own safety. And she would have to go into the temples in order to do this. Some of these children were sold to the temple for various reasons. And she found out later that the only reason that she was allowed access into the temple was because she had brown eyes. So you see, her mission was dependent on her actually not getting her own way when she was a little girl. But look, we could go around the room and there'd be many examples of times in our lives when God has said no to us and to our will, and we've had to take up our cross and follow God's way instead. Maybe some of you wanted to get married and start a family, but instead God called you into mission work and you weren't able to do that. Maybe you wanted to do some sort of kingdom work in some way, but you've been laid low by sickness and you haven't been able to do the work that you wanted to do. Or maybe you were getting close to retirement and you just wanted to travel. You wanted to buy a caravan and travel around Australia. But as you got close to retirement age, you heard God say, no, I actually want you to keep working for my kingdom. You weren't able to do what you really wanted to do. And so I want to ask a question this morning. How do we find the strength to willingly say, your will be done, not my will, but your will be done? How do we find the strength to do that? Because it's kind of an important question, isn't it? Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, they must deny themselves. They must take up their cross. Obviously, there are no easy answers. I don't want to stand up here and pretend like this is an easy thing to do, because it's not. I understand that. But I'd like to suggest there is a good way of doing this. Jesus did it. He sacrificed everything. He lived and died the way that the Father wanted him to do. And I'd suggest that he did it for one reason. He did it for the joy and the glory that was set before him. See, I think what Jesus did, on one hand, he looked at the pain and suffering involved in taking up his cross, the pain and suffering involved in saying, not my will, but thine be done. He looked at that on one hand. But then he looked at the joy and the glory of his kingdom on the other hand. And he said, for that joy, for that glory, for the glory of being reunited with my Father and spending eternity in my kingdom, for that joy, I will endure this. I will endure my cross. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 puts it like this. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus found the strength to submit to his cross, as heavy as it was, because he was looking past the pain of the cross and he was looking to the glory of his kingdom. And just as Jesus was asked to take up his cross, so he instructs us to do the same. And I'd suggest that a very good way of doing this, a very good way of approaching our own cross-bearing, is to mimic Jesus. So we can say, when God comes to us and says, Luke, I want you to give up that thing for the sake of my kingdom. Luke, I'd like you to do that thing. Even though it involves a burden, even though it involves taking up your cross, I'd like you to do it. I'm meant to say, okay, that's a hard thing for me to do, admittedly. It's not my will. But for the sake of the glory and the joy of being a part of your kingdom, I'll do it. For the reward of being part of your kingdom, I'll take up my cross. That's the response that we're supposed to have. I'm not saying that I do that all the time, by the way. I was just using that as an example. Of course, I'm still learning to do this. But that's the response that we're supposed to have. But I'd like to have a look just quickly at Peter's response. I said we were going to go back to verse 22 and 23, and that's what we'll do now. Now, poor old Peter, it's very popular to bash Peter up, isn't it? But the thing is, Peter's just saying the thing that's on everybody's minds. Because, you see, just earlier, Peter has declared that Jesus is the Messiah. He's declared that he thinks that Jesus is the king and that he is going to bring in his kingdom. And now Jesus has all of a sudden started saying that he's going to suffer and die. And Peter says, hang on a second, that's not right. You're meant to be the king. You're meant to be the one who conquers. Your kingdom is meant to rule and you are meant to reign in your kingdom from your throne forever. How can you suffer and die? And so Peter takes him aside and basically says, in essence, you can't achieve victory through pain and suffering, rejection and death. And then Jesus famously turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. See, it was the enemy getting in Jesus' ear. He was tempting Jesus the same way that he tempted him in the wilderness. You see, he was coming to Jesus and he was saying, in effect, you don't have to submit to what the Father wants. You can do things your own way. You don't need to win the crown or win the battle for your kingdom by going through suffering and death. Did your Father really say that? There must be an easier way. And you know what? There's only one person who does this. There's only one person who comes to us and whispers in our ear and tells us that self-denial and taking up our cross is not the only way to get into the kingdom. And that's the voice of our enemy. He comes to us and he tries to convince us that we can enter into Jesus' kingdom by doing things our own way and never having to go through the pain and suffering of dying to ourselves and taking up our cross. But Jesus says, no, the way into the kingdom is through self-denial. It's through taking up your cross. And Jesus asks us to follow him along that path. But he tells us that as we follow along that path, we will be walking right into his kingdom. See, going back to the story about Amy Carmichael, you know, she didn't just have to give up her desire of having blue eyes. When she went to India, she gave up the comfort of her home, of course, for a foreign country. She also gave up her health. She suffered from neuralgia her whole life, and that gave her a lot of pain. On top of that, people were constantly against her in her ministry. Apparently, she was charged at one point with kidnapping just because she had taken this child out of harm's way. Other missionaries criticized her, saying that she was making the situation worse. She had all of this stuff against her. In order to carry her cross, she had to give everything up. But what did she find? She denied herself. She lost everything, but she found Jesus. She found everything in Jesus. She denied her own kingdom. She suffered loss, but she found everything in Jesus' kingdom. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying right here in this passage to each one of us. Deny yourself, deny your kingdom, and find everything in him and his kingdom. So don't believe the enemy when he tells you that you don't have to deny yourself. And don't believe him when he tells you that the cost of self-denial is too high. He's wrong on both counts. Now, speaking of joy and happiness, let's move on to the Transfiguration. Now, I just want to put you into the disciples' shoes for a second here. Imagine you're one of those disciples, either Peter, James, or John, who got taken up onto the mountain that day. Imagine you followed Jesus around for the last around 3 years, and you're fully convinced that this is the Messiah. You're fully convinced that this is the King who is going to bring in his kingdom. And then he starts saying strange things. He starts saying, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. And you're confused by this. You think, how could that happen? How could a king win his kingdom, win his throne? How could his kingdom advance when he's going to suffer and die? That doesn't make sense. And then Jesus comes to you and he says, follow me up this mountain. And as you're following Jesus up that mountain, you're thinking, what on earth is he going to show us? Is he going to have some sort of hidden army up here? Because that would make sense, wouldn't it? He's a king and there are people who are trying to kill him. Does he have a hidden army up here? Are they going to sweep down off the mountain and destroy his enemies and win the kingdom for him? How will this king win his crown? How will his kingdom prevail? That's the question on your mind as you're trudging up this mountain. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is transfigured in front of you. Right before your eyes, it's like the veil between heaven and earth gets lifted up. And you see Jesus as he is in heaven. You see him as a king in his kingdom, high and exalted. And then you hear the voice of the Father say, this is my Son. I am pleased with him. Listen to him. God the Father has just affirmed that Jesus is his Son and that he's happy with him. And then all of a sudden it hits you. Jesus is already king and his kingdom is already here. And the way that he is going to win, the way that Jesus is going to advance his kingdom, the way that his kingdom is going to prevail is by the King, Jesus, doing the will of the Father in all things, submitting to the will of the Father. You see, Jesus submits to the Father in all things. He takes up his cross. He denied himself all throughout his life. And finally, he gets the reward. He gets the victory for his kingdom. And it's the same for you and for me. The way that we get victory too is by submitting to the Father in all things. Because the reward of submitting to God in all things is that we can then enjoy the kingdom and the glory. That's the reward. And the transfiguration is just a glimpse, it's just a foretaste of what we will experience when we encounter Jesus' kingdom and see it with our own eyes. Paul puts it like this in Romans 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. And that's our hope as Christians. Now I have three applications for us this morning to finish off. The first application is this. Don't be surprised. I know it sounds simple, but I think that's one of our problems, isn't it? We are surprised sometimes when we experience suffering. We are surprised when we get asked to give up our own will. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. It should come as no surprise that we should have to put aside our own kingdom in order to be a part of Jesus' kingdom. And it shouldn't surprise us that we sometimes have to give up our heart's deepest desires too. So don't be surprised. We will suffer. We will go through trials. We will have to carry our cross. However, application number two, when we do face the suffering of having to carry our cross, we can look to the joy that is set before us and we can move closer to Christ. I think the other problem with suffering is that when we experience it, or when we're asked to take up our cross, we're tempted to think, I'm going to miss out on things. I'm going to miss out on the joy and the happiness that I wanted. But if we look instead to Jesus and his glory, and if we remember that as we share in his sufferings, so too we are also sharing in the glory of his kingdom, it changes our perspective, doesn't it? And this has to do with our attitude towards the cross, really. Of course, we're never going to be happy about carrying our cross. But what Matthew is showing us in this passage is that we have hope beyond the suffering of carrying our cross. So thirdly, I'd like to encourage you this morning to take up your cross. I know the suffering involved with taking up your cross is hard. I realize that. But if there is anything that you know in your heart that God wants you to do for his kingdom, anything at all, can I encourage you to say yes to him, regardless of the cost? Because if you do, you will not lose in the end. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God in glory. Well, that concludes our sermon for this morning. Last week, we looked at how a Canaanite woman was accepted into the kingdom. This week, of course, we've looked at the self-denial and the cross-bearing and how that's a necessary part of this road as we journey into the kingdom. Next week is the climax of our series, where we're going to look at the ultimate goal of being a part of Jesus' kingdom, which is to have more of Jesus himself, who is our ultimate treasure and our ultimate reward. So I hope to see you next week as we delve a little bit further into this theme of encountering the kingdom.